Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. It's 10:30 a.m. Central Time, and you're tuned in to the Little Flower Literacy and Economics Radio Show with your host, Dr. Florida Bell Griffin and Leon Gatewood. Call, text, or message a friend on social media. Tell them to head on over to www.littleflowerartist.com. The show is starting right now. HALA is a North Carolina nonprofit organization that provides a variety of services, activities, and programs that aid in increasing children's test scores and also encourages the youth to make positive contributions to society. HALA was founded by Leon Gatewood. It has been the mission of Leon to ensure that HALA becomes a staple in the community by positively contributing to campaign for literacy in his community. HALA adopted the Little Flower Learning System as their program of choice for supporting community-wide literacy. For more information on HALA, visit www.hala.ws. That's www.holla.ws.
Good morning, and thank you for joining in on the Little Flower Literacy and Economics Radio Show. I am your host, Florida Bell Griffin in Houston, Texas, and I'm joined by co-host Leon Gatewood in Morven, North Carolina. Good morning, Brother Leon. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Florida Bell Griffin. How are you?
Sister I'm doing
Dr.
just
Florida
fine.
Bell
whatever, whatever. I'm doing just fine.
I want to give it all to you. Well, good.
Right.
I'm doing great. I'm excited today, so I'm acting a little strange. That has a little bit to do with it. All right.
You're just a little bit hyper?
A little bit hyped up.
Okay. Well, won't you tell me what's going on with you? What's going on with HALA?
Well, today, of course, is another day at the HALA Center. And, of course, because we have some exciting things going on at the HALA Center all the time, but especially exciting today, we have our annual Evening of Culture. And tonight we are featuring a group called Immeasurable that you'll hear more about shortly. Immeasurable. You'll understand why it's immeasurable in a little bit. And,
right.
Of course, we have Dr. Bruce Bridges who will be joining us later on, too. He'll be on the show as well. And we have some other exciting things going on the show tonight. We have a young group from Anson Middle School coming out to dance for us tonight. And there's just no telling what's going to happen tonight, but we're excited. But as far as the HALA Center, we have some things going on all the time. And we have our activities director on the line now, Mr. Alex Getty, who is just kind of like what we consider the backbone of the HALA Center. Keeps things going when I think there's nothing left to do. Mr. Alex Getty comes up with something else to do. So he's on the line now. If you could just give us a little idea of what he did something exciting with some kids on Sunday, and I wanted to share a little bit of that with you along with some maybe a couple other things he has coming down the pipe. Mr. Getty, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning,
Dr. Good morning, Mr. Getty. Good morning.
Good morning, Emerge.
Are you downstairs?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I am. It's not an echo, is it?
No, we hear you fine, man.
Very good. I'm going to be brief. I just wanted to let everyone know that part of the job of the activities director is to prepare the young people for their success that's going to come. Our young people are being prepared and prompted for the success that's going to come their way, and every opportunity that we get to expose our young people to something different, we take that opportunity. Last Sunday, we had the opportunity to be dining at one of Charlotte's upscale restaurants called George's Brasserie in the South Park area. And the reason for our visit to that restaurant is to teach the young people a little bit about etiquette and proper dining manners. And that's what the evening was all about. We had about, I think it was about 15 young people with their parents to come out, and we had a three-course meal, very exclusive three-course meal, I must add. And the kids were learning to use the proper utensils at the proper time. The young men were learning and prompted to pull the seats out for the young ladies, when to eat, when to stop eating, and things like that. But mind you, that evening was twofold. It was to teach a little etiquette, but it was also to have a little fun and reward the young people for the behavior and the accomplishments that they've been, you know, that they've had throughout the year. So the evening went well. They were getting a lot of attention from the other diners, and it was really good. And one thing that that impressed me with our young people, the linen was white, the linen was crisp, the glasses were clean, and the silverware was shining. And at the end of that evening, there wasn't one speck of food on that tablecloth, except for mine.
Oh, yeah, I was just
all
about
right,
to ask, what,
well,
do you eat?
That sounds great.
So the children were received very well. They received the training well, and now when they're at dinner in a formal setting, they're able to not be self-conscious, and they have the confidence to dine and enjoy themselves in a formal setting. So that was the lesson we had Sunday. One of the many.
Well, thank you. Thank
Beautiful.
You so much. All
While
right.
While you're talking, Mr. Getty, could you because Mr. Getty is the reason actually we were hosting Immeasurable tonight as well. Mr. Getty, could you just give us a little background on your contact with Immeasurable, because they're coming up next.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Could you give us a brief one, though, because we're short on
very
time.
It will be brief. As you well know, our doors are open to the community at the Hollis Center. A few Saturdays ago, we were preparing for our first tennis meeting, and the parents were here. And one of the tennis parents said they had some guests in town. And I said, well, please go get your guests, bring them into the Hollis Center so they can, you know, get a quick tour. So it was Immeasurable. Make a long story short, Immeasurable was visiting our center on behalf of one of the parents of the tennis kid. One of our tennis students. So they came and they toured. They told me their story, and their story was so heartwarming. I invited them to be a part of the Holler family to collaborate with things that we can do in the future together. And, of course, I extended an invitation for them to come back and grace us with their talent. And lo and behold, God granted us that wish, and the rest is history.
And here they are.
Thank you. And here they are. Thank you so much, Mr. Alex.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wow. Have a pleasant show.
All right. All right, Brother Gatewood.
Well, hello, everyone. We are National Christian Recording Duo Immeasurable from Baltimore, Maryland. And it's just a pleasure and an honor just to be able to come together with the Hollis Center for this event tonight, an evening of culture. What you all are doing in the community is wonderful amongst the youth, and just building them up and helping them with educational skills and, you know, basically, you know, just killing the stigma that's on a lot of youth. And so when we heard about the event you were doing and met with you, you know, we just couldn't miss this for the world, because this is something that we're definitely, you know, involved in as far as community things and, you know, just what you're doing. So we're really excited about tonight and coming out to minister and just uplift people and just show people who God is through us.
Beautiful, beautiful. Could you kind of give us an idea, some background on how you guys got started? I mean, what happened? How did you realize
you
could sing?
Well, I myself, this is Ronnie speaking. You'll see me tonight. I wear my hair in the mohawk. But the way that we got started, we actually started out as an R&B group. I was in several groups, and, you know, they just didn't work out. And my manager ended up meeting Yana in North Carolina, basically hooked us up, and, you know, I talked to her, fell in love with her over the phone, met her, and we've been a group for 13 years now. Funny about us, and I'll jump right into our story. You know, like I say, we started out in R&B. We were going out and we were traveling with the late, you know, LaFerne. I mean, we were on shows with like a lot of major R&B artists. And in the midst of all of that, we were offered a $1 million contract. And God began to speak to us, and he told us to walk away from it, to totally surrender and serve him. And we walked away from that $1 million contract to really serve God and give God our all and just go full force in ministry. But what God didn't show us is that when we walked away from the contract, we were going to become homeless ourselves. And what happened when we were homeless, I mean, we didn't have money to eat sometime. You know, we were living in hotels, and we couldn't even pay for the hotels that we were living in. And through that, God really birthed the ministry out of us, even with our imaging. You know, we would go in ministries, and, like, people would kind of snicker and laugh at us when we walked in, because to other people we looked strange because we would wear mismatched things and stripes and polka dots. I mean, really, we were like a ray of colors when we walked in churches. But people didn't realize that before we came in, we were in our hotel rooms scrounging together every piece of clothing that we had because we really didn't have things that matched. And so we put it all together because God told us it wasn't about what we had on. It wasn't about the clothes that we were wearing, but it was about his anointing and the message that we were carrying to uplift people. And so we went out and ministered, and we held our head up high. And out of the whole situation of us being homeless for those several years that we were, when God brought us out, we made a promise to him that we would reach back and help as many other people that we could that was in the same situation. And so out of that, you know, we birthed our nonprofit organization called Immeasurable Cares. And what we do is we travel across the country every year to 24 different states, and we provide beds and blankets to homeless shelters across America, you know, because the homeless epidemic is a very serious thing. A lot of people don't realize that people that are homeless is not always because of a drug addiction or, you know, some people are homeless just because life happened to them. You know, their parents might have died, and they couldn't afford to keep up with the bills, and so they found themselves homeless. And so, you know, we just want to bring awareness wherever we go to just let people know that you never know. Your time could come where you could be in the same situation as those people. And what we like to encourage people to do is just help us to be able to fund the shelters on what they need to be able to help the people that are living out on the street.
That's
that
amazing.
Is beautiful.
That is just
beautiful.
I'm talking about that. Let's talk about that $1 million you turned down. How did God say that?
Oh, let me tell you,
we can
talk about that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when God was dealing with me and Yana about that, we looked at each other like, God, you know, sometimes as Christians, we got to tell God, like, God, if this is really you, you know, you got to show me a sign.
Yeah.
So you're talking about walking away from $1 million, like, and I didn't need just one sign. We needed a couple, you know, because we wanted to make sure. But God has a sense of humor, and he kept showing us through different things that this is what I'm calling you all to do. Trust me, I'm going to take care of you. I mean, but the awesome thing about it is, even though, you know, the $1 million, it looked really good, but what God had for our lives and what we went through, the $1 million could never amount to the amount of strength that he gave us being homeless, the amount of wisdom that he gave us when we were homeless, and just the amount of love that we now have for people that is in that situation. $1 million would have never done that for us.
Yeah, because I see so many people that have had so much more than that in money and now have absolutely nothing. I mean,
and people that still have more than that and are miserable. So to have peace of mind and to have your gift and to be able to bless others is just, it's beautiful.
Yes,
wow.
And to know that you're doing what God's will is for your life. I mean,
exactly.
I think that that's the ultimate happiness, you know, to live a life with purpose, on purpose, because you know what God's desire is for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, so what are you guys going to do tonight when you get here? Get the Morven.
Oh, my goodness.
What are you going to do? What are you guys going to do? What can we look forward to?
Well, tonight we never tell people what we're going to do because, you know, we want people to come and be surprised, but we sing all styles of music, anywhere from hymns to quartet to contemporary. We speak Spanish, so we minister in Spanish sometimes. So we have a lot of different things that we're going to do for you all tonight. But in order for you to know, you got to be there tonight at 7 o'clock, at 7 p.m. I'm sorry, 9 p.m. at 229 East Main Street in Morven, North Carolina. We want to make sure that you all are there on time to see us minister and song.
So what time is it?
Well, the reception starts at 5:30, so Immeasurable may hit the stage. So you want to be here by 5:30. So Immeasurable may hit the stage within that hour, within the hour. So we're gonna kind of play this program by ear. I make sure that we have that they have the maximum audience for their performance, because we believe their performance is gonna make a difference in our town. They're not coming all the way here from all those places they've been not to make a difference, and we believe that.
Wow.
Yes.
Well,
absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I'm in Texas. I wish I were there. I would love to be at the Hollow Center tonight.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, when we're in Texas, we'll make sure that we give you a call so wherever we are, you can come out and see us, because we will be in Texas soon as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So, Brother Gatewood, did you want to let Immeasurable go and continue on?
Well, what I would like for Immeasurable to do is, if they could, just give us about a line of a song. Touch me. I want them to touch the listening audience, or those who can't make it. Just touch them. Just hit them with a note or two. If we could convince them to do that, Dr. Griffin.
All right.
Of course.
Wonderful.
Well, the note that we're going to hit you with, or two, is actually our single called He Loves Us, that's right now in the top 20 in the nation. And so we're going to sing just a little bit of that. All right.
He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves.
Oh, man. Okay.
Wow.
All right, I'm ready.
That was beautiful.
Y'all hear it. Come on.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for being on with us this morning.
God bless you. We're looking
thank
forward
you
to seeing
for having
you.
Us, and we can't wait to see you all this evening.
All right.
All
great.
Right.
We're
thank
excited.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Brother Leon?
Yes.
That was lovely.
Looks like we're in for something.
Yes, indeed. Well, we have Dr. Bridges on with us now.
Oh, are you serious? Is this a show
yes,
or what?
Yes, he's been on with us for a while now. So let's talk to Dr. Bridges.
Dr. Bridges.
Well,
how you doing, brother?
Dr. Bridges. Well, I thought we had Dr. Bridges. let's see.
Man.
Yes, we have Dr. Bridges. Dr. Bridges?
Oh, yeah. I'm here. Can she hear me?
Yes,
oh,
sir.
We hear you
we
now, brother.
How
you doing, man?
Okay, you right. I thought you didn't hear me. Okay, yeah, because I had my mute off. But I've been on since about 11:15,
yes.
And I called back when they 11:30, so I've heard the whole program. Oh,
yes.
I like to be
a
part of it, not just my part. I like to know what's going on the whole program.
I know that's right, sir.
So I'm
well,
looking forward to
you
it
coming
tonight.
Back
I'm glad
on
I heard
to kind of give us an idea, give the audience an idea of what they'll be listening to tonight, what kind of information you're going to share with them tonight.
Okay.
So if you have a few minutes just to do that, we'd appreciate it.
I do. Mm-hmm. I think you got about 10 left. So on tonight, what I'm going to do, my topic is the African oral tradition and the roots of today's spoken word. And in doing that, before I talk specifically about the African oral tradition, I'm going to lay down some African history, talk about some of the great kingdoms and empires that were formed in Africa, and I'm going to discuss how we developed societies and civilizations before coming to America and being made into slaves. And not only about what we've done in Africa, but I'm going to also talk about the impact of African people on countries in Europe and also in Asia and around the world. So that's just a general idea of what I'm going to talk about. And then I'm going to do some old school poetry, as we used to call them, toasts, some of the old school poetry that began long before spoken word that we know about today. I'm going to perform some of those poems.
Well,
mm-hmm.
That's exciting. This is Dr. Griffin.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Griffin, you need to be here. Get on your plane.
I wish I were. It sounds like it's going to be amazing.
maybe Brother Gatewood, Dr. Griffin, I haven't talked to her yet. I wait till after this program. She hears about it. Maybe she can bring me somewhere in Texas or get me down in that part of the country.
There you go. There we go.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to tonight. I really am.
And we have a lot of people coming to town, coming to the program tonight. They're looking very forward to hearing what you have to share with us. And,
is that right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Good.
Oh, yeah, we've had a lot of text messages coming in this morning. I want to know what time Dr. Bridges is going to be speaking and things of that nature. So we're excited,
yeah,
man.
I'm going to be there for the whole program, and I think they're going to come on first, and I think I'm going to close it out. I think I'll probably be the last thing on the program from what I understand,
yeah, exactly,
which is fine
exactly,
with me because I want to hear this. I want to hear the group anyway.
Man, yeah.
So I'll be there early.
They have a beautiful story to tell, and.
I heard part of it this morning. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I can't wait to meet.
Combined with your historical message, the people will get a beautiful blessing this evening. And I just hope people take advantage of this opportunity and come out. And I'm sure, like I said, we have a lot of people saying they're coming out, so we're really excited about that. We're not worried about not having people here. We're just excited that you're going to be here along with the group. It's going to be a beautiful evening.
And also, I'll be having some copies and autographed in some of my new book, Recapturing the African Mind. Matter of fact, I got to pick them up before I come. They'll be straight off the press, coming straight to Waynesboro with them from Raleigh, North Carolina.
That's some good information because someone did text me today and asked me if you were bringing books, and I said yes.
Oh, I am.
I told the truth.
And you did. So I'm not going to make a lie of you. I have
them. Very good. Let's take
that.
A break. I need to take a quick break. And when we come back, Dr. Bridges, would you read us one of your poems?
Well, if you don't mind me, I'll recite it. Is that okay? I don't need to read.
Oh,
I got it in my head.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, let us take this break. And when we come back, if you recite whatever you want, we'd appreciate it.
Okay, I will.
That's even better, right, Bridges?
That's right.
Enjoying the discussion? Great. We'll be right back in a few. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Little Flower Literacy and Economics Radio Show with host Dr. Florida Bell Griffin and Leon Gatewood right here on www.littleflowerartist.com. Marketing Pulpit International, also known as MPI, is committed to helping communities prosper by developing businesses, creating jobs, and building sustainable economic empowerment. MPI offers several radio shows throughout the week that touch on the issues that not only plague our communities, but also our country. For show schedules and more, visit www.marketingpulpit.com. That's www.marketingpulpit.com. And we're back. You are tuned in to the Little Flower Literacy and Economics Radio Show with host Dr. Florida Bell Griffin and Leon Gatewood. Let's get back to the show.
All right, we're back. And we have Dr. Bridges with us, and he's going to recite a poem from his book or wherever he chooses to get it from.
All right, it's not from my book. I definitely can't take credit for it. Right, okay. But what I'm going to do is on tonight, as I talk about the African oral tradition, I'm going to take it all the way back to some of the poetry by Paul Laurence Dunbar.
Okay.
So most people are probably familiar with him, but I'm just going to recite a few words of the poem that I'm going to do tonight. One of them I'm going to do by Paul Laurence Dunbar. And most people have heard it, but if they come tonight, they'll hear much more than what I'm going to do now. The Negro Love Song. Seen my lady home last night, held her hand and squeezed it tight. Jump back, honey, jump back. Heard her sigh, a little sigh. Seen a light gleam from her eye and a smile go flitting by. Jump back, honey, jump back. And my heart was beating so when I reached my baby's door that I couldn't bear to go. Jump back, honey, jump back. Put my arm round her waist, raised her lips, took a taste. Jump back, honey, jump back. Love me, honey, love me true. And she answered, "Course I do." Jump back, honey, jump back. That's just a little bit of a poem by Paul Lawrence Dunbar called Jump Back, Honey, Jump Back. And I read the history of that poem, and I thought, and I'll talk about the history of tonight, because the history of how he came by writing that poem was very good, very interesting. And so I'm going to talk about Dunbar tonight. And then I'm going to also talk about some of the poems that nobody knows who wrote, which were called toasts that came out of the African oral tradition in this country. And I think people will find them very interesting, because most people would not have heard the other ones that I'm going to do tonight. So that's just a small sample.
Great.
Wonderful.
Great. I think we talked about something before we came on the air about Black History Month, February 28th. 28 days in February. And we're talking about, of course, you know, it's like they gave us 28 days. One of the things I think we need to look at as people is if we can celebrate Black History year-round, any day we want, not just for the month. Of course, we're going to start when it starts out as a week or something. But of course, doesn't have to be designated, something we are restricted to, in other words. And I think once we've reached the freedom of mind that it's not something we're restricted to, wait until February to do, we can get more exposure to our history, which is really, I think, important for especially our young people to get exposed to.
You're right,
I,
Brother Gates.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
And really, when you mentioned, you made me think about something I was reading about Carter G. Woodson the other day, and that is he really wanted African-American and African history to be, and he used these words, an essential part of American history. Because I told my class last night, a class that I teach at the university, you can't teach any history or any literature, any science, any math properly in this country without bringing in the contributions of people of color, because we are indeed a very important part of the fabric of this society and this world. So you really can't leave us out and call yourself a teacher or a professor, because we are in every aspect of this society. And when I talked about it last night, a student was looking on a cell phone, for example, a cell phone invention and received a patent by an African-American person. As an example, you know, the cars were made by African-American people before Henry Ford. And I'm going to talk about some of this tonight. So really, to just separate it, is we have to do it, because if not, we wouldn't even have what we have. But it really should be, as Carter G. Woodson said, an essential part of American history if you're going to teach it the way that it should be taught.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Something else that I wanted to add was I'm a firm believer that we are creating history every day. And while it's important for us to know what happened in the past, very important for us, it's important for our families to know the history of our families and the struggles that our forefathers and our own families went through, so that we would have the opportunities that we have today. And I, you know, encourage people to always share their family stories and write it down. What do you think about that,
Dr.
Bridges?
Very good. And you're absolutely right about that. And you, it's almost like you were standing over my shoulder last night in my class, because we were talking about that. In the textbook, they talked about how African people tried to keep that kinship together, and how people would walk sometimes from plantation to plantation, even walk as much as 30 miles to get in touch with their families that had been sold off to other plantations. So you're absolutely right. We've been through struggles trying to keep this thing together, and even the fact that we have extended families now, and somebody might be your aunt or your uncle, who might not be any relation to you at all, but because of those families being broken and fractured in slavery, we oftentimes will call everybody who would help us out. That's my uncle or that's my aunt, because mm-hmm. we knew that there was a kinship that we had to keep tight and hold together in slavery. So, Dr. Griffin, you're absolutely right.
Wow.
Dr. Griffin, since you brought that up, there's
yes,
a young man on Facebook, one of my Facebook friends named Dr. Ed Bell. He's recently posted some recordings of some of his ancestors on Facebook, you know, and he was expressing to me how important it was for me to start recording my mother, who is, of course, you know, is 97 years old
this year. It's very important that you do it, and I would suggest that you do it quickly
and get as many oral recordings as you can of any stories that she can remember.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I have a
Well, this has been a great show, and I hope you all have – I know that you're going to have a magnificent time tonight. And it would be so wonderful, Brother Gatewood, if it were videoed so that I could see it.
It just may be.
All I'm
right.
glad you don't
count it out.
Well, that's a request in case, you know.
Good. I'm glad you asked that because I was going to call Alex Gaddick when the program is over to see, because I thought about that. Let's video it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's video it. I'd like to see it. All right.
All right.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bridges. And thank you, Brother
Gatewood. So
and we're out of time.
All right.
All right. Take care.
God bless each of you. All right.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in to the Little Flower Literacy and Economics Show with your host, Dr. Florida Bell Griffin and Leon Gatewood. Join us every Thursday morning at 10:30 a.m. Central Time right here on www.littleflowerartist.com. Don't forget to invite friends. Come on over, www.littleflowerartist.com. We'll see you again real soon.